Well, today we're starting a new series, and it's called You Drive Me Crazy. And in this series, I'm going to talk about people who drive you crazy. I know there's a few types of people who drive me crazy. Like, slow people drive me crazy, especially when I'm late for an appointment, you know, and I'm driving and somebody does such a slow-po right in front of me, and you want to pass them, but then you realize that you're a pastor and they might know you because everybody kind of knows each other in this town, right? And or they've seen you on Facebook. Like my friend Jade here, he says he goes to a gas station now and everybody's like, hey, I know you from somewhere. You're from that church, right? So now he can't flip anybody off anymore. He's mad about that. I made that up, Jade. You're a good man. All right? And so slow people drive me crazy a little bit. Lazy people drive me crazy. I'm a workaholic, if you can ask my kids or my wife. I never stop working. I used to hate it when I came home from whatever, from school, and my mom just always made us work. And now I grew up to be a guy like my mom. Now my kids are like, what are you doing sitting on the couch? Go bundle the wood. Go mow the lawn. We got two lawnmowers. Both of you could do it, you know. So I could drive people crazy. We have people who drive us crazy, and we are sometimes those people, admit it or not, we drive people crazy as well. If you're a young person, maybe somebody in school who's all that perfect Miss Goody Two-Shoes driving you crazy, you know? Being a teacher's pet maybe drives you crazy. Maybe somebody at work who sucks up to the boss but actually hates him drives you crazy. Hypocrites drive us crazy. Amen? Who drives you guys crazy? Any other words that come to you? Spouses maybe drive you crazy sometimes, right? Those socks on the floor, they drive us crazy. Well, you crazy, honey, but doesn't drive me, right? For guys, sometimes I heard that when a house is dirty, it drives you crazy, woman. Come on. Being a little insensitive today. I'm still learning the sensitivity thing. So be patient with your pastor. Amen. Today, I'm going to talk about dealing with toxic people. That's my topic today, dealing with toxic people. And I'm going to talk about dealing with toxic people that you cannot cut off out of your life. How many of you know there are some toxic people that you can cut them off out of your life? Even in church, you know somebody and they're toxic and you're like, I'm just not going to hang out with you. We're not going to be friends. Because every time I talk to you, it's like more drama. Every time I talk to you, it's like you say something that I didn't say to somebody else. So I'm just going to avoid you. Okay, I still love you, but I don't like you. Right, Bible says you should love your neighbor as yourself. Doesn't mean you have to like him. Okay, so there are some people you can avoid. Okay, maybe you can switch a job and change a job and you can avoid somebody like that. But there are some people in our life we cannot avoid. For example, you have a job and your boss is cray cray. You can't avoid the dude, right? You need that job. If you could get a better job, you would. But this is a great job, pays well, but the boss is crazy. Or maybe you work somebody in the next cubicle who's just driving you nuts, like that video we just saw, right? But you can't get away from them. You have to work with them. So today I'm going to talk about how to deal with people you can get rid of, you cannot get rid of out of your life. For example, maybe you're married to somebody and they drive you crazy. They're not abusive, but they're cray cray. And you just can't get rid of them. You have to live with them. Bible says you need to love them, but you don't like them most times. Maybe it's your sibling. How many of you know siblings can drive us crazy, especially when we get older on family reunion? Oh my goodness. I won't let that one go. Maybe it's, I don't know, your mom driving you crazy. Maybe it's your child that's driving you crazy. Not you, Junior. Never. Maybe somebody you know, maybe somebody in church, maybe even your pastor drives you crazy. I'm sure we all have people who drive us crazy. That's what we are talking about today, dealing with toxic people, dealing with crazy people who we cannot get rid of our life, out of our life, okay? So David In the Bible, you know, he's the one who killed the Goliath, the shepherd boy first, killed a lion and a bear, then he killed the Goliath. And in the Bible, he had to deal with somebody very crazy, a toxic person. David was stuck with this guy, and there was nothing he could do to get rid of him. He could not get away from him, and he could not get rid of him. Because the crazy person in David's life was the king of the land. How do you get rid of your king? What if the president drives you nuts? Some of you are like, amen, pastor. That's the only time you said amen in church ever. Wow. Because David had to deal with the king of the land. And David's crazy person was his boss. He was his king and he was his boss. He had to live with and deal with a guy named Saul. He had to live and deal with him. And King Saul was crazy. No, I'm not making it up. Bible says he was crazy. Okay? If you read Old Testament, you quickly will see how crazy King Saul really was. You never knew what Saul is going to show up to work. Is it going to be the good Saul or the psychopath Saul? Is it going to be the guy who shakes your hand, Saul, and hug you and say, oh, I love you? Or let me throw a spear and pin you and kill you to the wall. You never knew what Saul is going to show up. Is it going to be the Saul that compliments you and tells you that you are the best employee that I got one day? And the next day, he says, I'm going to kill you, and talks bad about you behind your back and trying to ruin your reputation. You never knew what Saul was going to show up. So how do you deal with a crazy person you cannot get rid of out of your life? Number one is, when someone is hurting you, don't throw spears. Okay? You can just write this down. Don't throw spears. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 10 and 11, it says this. The very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman. I mean, this is a king. Thank God we don't have the power of a king today, right? Because what would happen if we were mad and angry? Would we kill somebody? Thank God most of us don't have that power. And he began to rave like a madman. David was playing the harp. Now, that's what David did. Saul actually hired David to play the harp for him. Why? Because David's music soothed Saul's madness. It helped him with his madness. Sometimes music, worship music, helps you to come down from your anxiety, from your anger, from rage, whatever you're dealing with. David was playing a harp. Saul hired him, and he, as he did each day, but Saul had a spear in his hand. Next verse. And he suddenly hurled at David, intending to pin him to the wall, but David escaped him twice. Now, maybe you work with this kind of person in your office or in your shop. They're always throwing spears at you. They're always doing something to hurt you, to help, to make you lose a job. We never attack people who are below us. We kind of pity them. We attack people who we think that have a better gift than we do. Come on, somebody. We attack those kind of people. And that's why Saul is attacking David. That's why he's throwing spears at him, because he sees a gift of God upon David. If they didn't care about you, if they didn't think you were really good and gifted, they wouldn't throw a spear at you. The reason they are attacking you, because they're kind of jealous of you. That's what happened to the soul. So know that when people are jealous of you, that means they look up to you. They think you're good, and they think that you shouldn't be. You don't deserve to be. But they don't choose your gifts. They don't choose who you are and how God blessed you. God does that. How awesome is that, that people don't choose who you're going to be. God already chose who you're going to be. Amen. And so what David does, he avoids or dodges the spear. Sometimes you can't quit a job, so you need to dodge or avoid somebody. And the temptation is of David is to throw a spear back. The temptation is, you said something bad about me. You don't even know what comeback I have. I'm going to burn you, baby. I'm going to like say something so mean. It's right on the tip of my tongue. You think you can get me? Are you talking to me? Did you say something about me? Don't you know what I can say about you? When someone is hurting you, don't throw spears. If you can't cut him out of your life, avoid as much as possible. Avoid. Avoid as much as possible. David, that's what he does. Remember, by this time, he killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands. David, guys, we look at David as a little shepherd boy. You know how we look at shepherd boy. It's a weak and shepherd boy with a stick, right? Just like that. Right? That's how we look at him. But the truth is, David was not like that. David was a warrior. Guys, David was a warrior from the day that he was born. Remember, when nobody saw him, when the lion would come and take away, this is not a pussycat. We're not talking about a little tiny cat who wanted to attack, you know, his sheep. This was lion coming and attacking. David would run after them. And if the lion or the bear would not give up the sheep, he would come and rip him apart. David was not just a musician with musician's hands. He had working hands and warrior hands too. And Saul is like, he's a musician, so, you know, I'm going to mess with him, but don't mess with this musician. So David had an opportunity. By this time, David was a national hero. Guys, he killed a Goliath. He knocked him out with one stone, and then he cut his head off. I know it's culturally unacceptable to talk about this, but in their culture, it was normal. When you go to war, that's what you did. And so David was a powerful national warrior hero. He had an opportunity to easily pin King Saul to the wall. Pin King Saul to the wall. Don't pin King Saul to the wall. Okay? But David had an opportunity to do that. But he doesn't throw a spear back. He doesn't gossip about somebody who's gossiping about him. How easy it is. He's not rude to someone who's being rude to him. Nowhere in the Bible does it say be rude to those who are rude to you. Right? Throw stones at those who throw stones at you. Get in the mud at those who are throwing mud at you. Because when you're throwing mud at somebody, you're going to get dirty yourself. So Bible says don't go down on their level. Don't be rude to those who are rude to you. Matthew 7:12. Says this, it says, do to others whatever they do to you, right? No, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. And that goes against everything we know. We live in a culture, if they said something against you, oh boy, they have to be punished. We have to do something to them. This is the essence of all the thought in the law and the prophets. So Jesus says, do unto others, not as they do to you, and not how they treat you, but how you want to be treated. So he doesn't throw insults at those who throw insults at him. He doesn't cuss back at somebody who's cussing out at him. Because God says, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is the Lord's. Oh my goodness, guys. Vengeance is the Lord's. And Paul says, do not repay evil for evil. Amen. God wants us to rise above the crazies in our life. Because the crazies love to rope you in. Next week, I'm going to bring a rope possibly and show you how. I'm going to bring a tree rope. 15,000 pound breaking point rope. 3/4 of an inch rope. And I'll show you how they try to rope you in. They crazies love to rope you in. And they love to say something on Facebook or on social media, and they want you to respond. And when you respond, they take your words, and then they start using it as a spears and ammo against you. Especially if you're doing something with your life. If you're not doing anything with your life, nobody will care. But if you're going somewhere, if you're improving your life, if you used to be a druggie, but now you're changing and you're making a difference and you're serving and you're blessing people, trust me, you will have people throwing spears at you. And the response we want to make is, let me throw something back. And God says, vengeance is mine. Next thing, toxic people are often unfair. Wouldn't you agree? Toxic people are often unfair. One day Saul is in a good mood. King Saul says to David, David, marry my oldest daughter. And David says, she's not very pretty. I'm not attracted to her. But how can you say no to Saul? He's the king, right? So David's like, okay, fine. I like the younger one, but it's like Jacob and Leah, right? Well, I'll do it, but I don't want to. I'll regret it in the morning. Hey, that's what Jacob said. He did regret it in the morning. Jesus, some of you have been there. You're like, don't say anything else. Move along, Pastor. Amen. So he says, marry my oldest daughter. And David, like, fine, I'll do it. But the next day, Saul gives his daughter to marry somebody else. It's like, what? What the is going on here? How many of you know that life could be unfair? Come on, somebody. Life could be very unfair. Maybe you were promised a promotion, and then at the last minute, they changed their mind. Maybe you were going to be chosen for a leadership position, but then they chose somebody else over you. I remember I was working at Citibank when I was a teenager, and I was working in the mail room, and I open mail, that's what I did. And the checks that you send for your credit card, I saw that. Some people would send us nasty stuff and write F you in a thing because they hated us so much. Well, not us, the bank, you know, because the interest they didn't pay. And so, oh my goodness, what we saw. Threats and things like that. Don't do that, please. Somebody might know you, okay? Facebook, they can Facebook you. And so I was working in the mailroom, and I was there. And I'm not trying to brag here, but just a little bit, okay? I was working in a mailroom, and the standard was to open 35, I think, 100 mail an hour. And I was doing 72, all right? I was their best employee. I tried to do my best there. I mean, I worked, as you know me, I'm a workaholic. I love work. I enjoy work. Like, you're like, I enjoy the weekend. I enjoy the week. Okay, true story. I'm learning to enjoy the weekend more, right? My wife says my message has to be done by Friday so I can enjoy the Saturday. Because if my message is not done on Friday, I'll be like this all Saturday. Worrying, but not really doing anything, just worrying. Kind of a procrastinator like many of you. Okay, so working in this Citibank, and so the boss says, you're going to get promoted. You're the best worker. They brought a video camera, like I said, to record me so they can show other Citibanks, like in Nevada and somewhere else in South Carolina or something like that, of how I do this. So I went through an interview. It went well, and I was almost guaranteed a job. And then they promote somebody else, somebody who didn't do such a good job, somebody who was just a chiller, you know, just working, you know. I did my best. And I felt it's so unfair. It's so unfair. After that, I realized, okay, probably I'm not going to get promoted in this company. And so a few weeks later, I quit. I found another job and I quit. And then not long from there, God led me to start a business. At 17, in 1996, I started my own business. And it grew to be a successful business. And I'm so glad. Listen to me, that boss was unfair to me. Listen, sometimes David is like, you promised me your oldest daughter, and then you just pulled a rock under our wedding date. You let her marry somebody else without even talking to me. And what David thought was unfair, unjust, God had a plan. Listen to me, guys. God had a plan, because God says, a couple of weeks later, King Saul says, I have another daughter. Her name is Michal. That's a woman's name. And David actually loved Michal. They were attracted. She was prettier. So what David thought was unfair was God working behind the scenes to give him something better. Listen to me. God wants to give you something better. When people are unfair to you, that means God has something better for you. Write this down. Write this down. When people are unfair to you, God has something better. When injustice happens, understand that the hand of God, listen to me, the hand of God is bigger than the hand of man. When injustice happens, remember that the hand of God is bigger than the hand of man. What should you do in those situations? You should prepare yourself mentally. Expect difficulty and perform under pressure. Expect difficulty and perform under pressure. Pressure breaks some people, or pressure makes some people come alive. True? Right? It will either break you or make you. Your problem could either break you or make you. Sometimes your faith hasn't been used for a long time, and God will bring a problem so He can see how you respond. And you either allow your faith to come alive, or you allow your faith to die even more. Amen? Amen. So, expect difficulty and perform under pressure. Toxic people are schemers. You got to know that toxic people are schemers. I know some families who are going through a divorce or separated, and some spouses are such schemers. Oh my goodness, they use kids. They use child support. They use manipulation and control. They use talking bad about you to the whole church to shame you, to control you and to force you and to manipulate into doing something they want. Toxic people are schemers. So Saul came up with another plan how to kill David. You know what he does? He says, I see David likes my daughter Michal, and Michal likes David. So let's hook them up again. But this time, let's hook him up so I can kill him. So King Saul says, David, why don't you marry my second daughter? He's in a good mood again, right? King Saul is in a good mood again. Marry my daughter. David's like, oh, Michal, sure. Sure, that's a better option. So David goes before King Saul and says, King Saul, according to our custom, I must give you a bride gift, okay? But what can I give a king? He says, I'm just a poor boy. Shepherd boy, and you are a king. I mean, I could buy you a Lexus, but you have 10 of them in your stables. What can I get the king, right? Probably I can't even afford what you have. And so he goes before the king, and he asks king's advisors, hey guys, what does king want as a bride price for Michal? And so they go to the king. King says, I got an idea. I got an idea. Tell David, he says, I want 100 Philistine foreskins. You know, that's a gift we all want, right? That message just became a little painful. Right? Foreskin. Saul didn't really care for foreskins. I'm going to say that word a lot, I think, today. Don't think about it. If you don't know what it is, don't search it, please. Some of you are on Google. Saul didn't really want foreskins. He wanted 100 dead Philistine soldiers. Remember, Israel is a country occupied by Philistines at this time. Saul did not drive all the Philistines out of Israel. Yes, David killed Goliath, who was a Philistine, but they didn't push all of them out. Philistines were occupying the strongholds, the cities of Israel. Actually, David, when he became a king, he expanded the kingdom to the original boundaries. So at this time, the Philistines are occupying the land of Israel. And so King Saul would send raids into these cities and push them back. So he thinks, okay, I'm going to give David a small team, special forces. And I'm going to send them to where Goliath's brother lives. You know, Goliath had like two brothers or something like that, right? Another big giants. He says, and when he goes there, they're going to kill him. Really, what Saul is looking for, he's so jealous. He's so envious of the success of David. Are you envious of people's success? To where it drives you to hate them. You know, hate is the same as murder. If you had the power of a king, the hate would turn into... See, you don't have the power of a king, so you're like, oh, it's just hate. It doesn't mean anything. No, it's murder. Because you don't have the power. If you had the power of a king, you would murder them. You would be like Saul. I would be like Saul. That's why Jesus says hate is the same as murder. Minus the power. You see? You see? So that's why we've got to get rid of hate out of our life. And so King Saul says, he'll go there. He'll try to kill, impress me. He'll get cocky and they'll kill him. He didn't realize that David was anointed warrior. And so remember what the point is? Expect difficulty and perform under pressure. David could have been, okay, I know what Saul is trying to do. I think I'm going to run away. That's not what David does. That's not what David does. Saul didn't really care about the foreskin. He cared about 100 dead Philistine soldiers. And Philistines are not just going to stand there, guys, and say, oh, you want my foreskin? Why didn't you say so? Just come and get it. It's so painful. All you have to do is just ask, right? The Philistines they're going to say, over my dead body, buddy. Over my dead body, you're going to get that. David says, okay, come on out, we'll fight. And so David fights. And instead of bringing 100 Philistines foreskins, he brings 200. Don't think about it. Bad time to live. I'm going to kill you. Don't think about it. I could go further, but oh my goodness. Nobody's going to say, all you have to do is ask. No, it's not going to be like that. It was Saul's plan to kill David all alone. Some of you are Googling it. Stop. Focus. Why does God allow toxic people in my life? Because, listen to this, toxic people often give you turbo growth. Toxic people often give you turbo growth. David exceeded. He said, you want 100? I'll give you 200. I'll fight for 2 months, not 1 month, for this woman. Imagine what kind of standard David was setting for his soldiers who were watching him. Imagine someday in the future, the soldiers are saying, you know, David, King Saul asked him for 100. You know what he did? He did 200. Your boss asked you for to do this much in sales, and you did double. People are going to start talking. People don't talk about those who go back. People talk about those who use their faith and go forward. Amen? Amen. You want that? I'll give you double, David says. Now, I wish it wasn't foreskins, but it is what it is. So God will use toxic people to turbo growth you, turbo grow you. What does that mean? It means for what God wants to do in your lifetime, to download everything God wants to download to you. It would take 3 lifetimes to download what God wants to download into you. Okay? But God says, I have a plan to grow him really fast, to grow her really fast. And that means I'm going to put him around a toxic, crazy person. Because toxic, crazy people sometimes teach us what not to do. You know, I wouldn't be a pastor like I am today if it wasn't for those toxic pastors in my life that I grew up with, the hypocrite pastors in my life. I wouldn't be a pastor that I am today if I didn't grow up under pastors who abused people. And when I was under those pastors, I said, I will never be like that. I will never be like that. You would never be a father you are today if your father was there. But God had to remove him, and you said, I will never be like that man. I will take care of my kids. God allowed you to be in a family where there was abuse. Now, he didn't cause the abuse, but sometimes he allowed that to happen. So you grow up and say, no, we're going to stop this abuse. Amen? So we don't change when things are good. We change when things go bad. Come on, somebody. When God wants to make you great and give you a great legacy, listen to this carefully, he makes things easy on you, right? Come on, shake your head this way. When God wants to make you great and give you a great legacy, he makes things easy on you, right? Say it. No. He makes things harder. Listen to me. He makes things harder. It's not the easy things that make us. It's the hard things that make us and make us use our faith. The reason your life is so hard is because God has been making you stronger for the future that is ahead of you. I'm like King Saul. You have a warrior under you. You have a warrior in your army. And see, good leaders, this is what they do. When they realize a gift, guess what they do? They say, well, this person can help me make my kingdom better. This person can help me make my company better. Insecure leaders, you know what they do? Uh-oh, he might take my job. See, when you're in the army and you train and bring up somebody very, very talented and you train him and you put knowledge into them and you give them direction and vision, guess what? They're not going to leave you there. They're going to promote you. And that's what God does. He never demotes. He promotes. When you are faithful with promoting other people, you are going to be promoted by God. Listen to me. If you're faithful in helping other people, discipling other people, you're not going to be left behind. I just get people like that drive me crazy. When the church begins to grow, they're like, the church is so big now, nobody knows me and I don't know anybody. We should be a small church. Listen, you don't have to try to make this church small again. Help it grow. Become the pillar. Become somebody who invests in other people. Because while you're investing in other people, God is going to grow you and promote you. And so King Saul is a fool. I'm serious. He's a cray-cray. He is crazy. Instead of promoting David and giving him opportunities to get rid of Philistines out of his country. David, you're so good at it. Go! I'm going to give you my support so I can chill in the castle and drink my little grape juice. Right? And enjoy my wife and kids. No. I'm going to hate you. I'm going to live in negativity. I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to rave. I'm going to get angry. And I'm going to chase you through the desert for years. He chases him 15 years through the desert, guys. Smelling the dust. Living in the heat. Sleeping in caves and peeing and pooping in caves. I went too far there. So. Back it up. Back it up. You didn't hear that. Time travel. Right? This guy is like good leaders. They recognize the talent and they help them succeed. Good husbands, when they see that their wife is gifted in an area, he doesn't get intimidated by that. He says, you know, you're so good at it. Why don't you do that? No, I do finances so I can control her. But she's better than you, dude. You're like horrible with money. So why not just give her the money and let her take care of it? She'll keep a budget. And before you know it, you'll be able to take vacations because you don't have any debt. You know, a lot of people say, God, I need more money. But imagine if you had the money you make now, but you didn't have any bills. Meaning any car payment, couch payment, dog payment, all kinds of payments. Imagine that. How much money would you have if you had no car payments, no house payment, nothing? See, so it's not more money that you need. It's you need to learn how to manage your money. And then when you make them, you spend them. See, but that's that initial beginning is the hard. So good husbands, good wives recognize the gifts of their spouse. And they help them and push them towards that gift. The best day of my life happened when I realized that my wife has different gifts that I want her to have. You know, guys, we marry our women, our wives, and we say this. You have a picture. This is what she's going to be. This is what she's going to do. And my wife was totally not gifted in the area where I imagined her to be. And we fought. But then I realized, okay, she has different gifts. And I began to push her. Last week she preached. Did you guys hear that? But guys, you know how much pushing it took? It's like 3 months of pushing. No, you can do it. No, I don't want to do it. You can do it. You're gifted there. You're going to bless people, right? You're gifted in this area, in this area. And my wife is kind of, she, can I say this? Okay. She's like, whatever. Too late. Sometimes she fears. She's like, I don't think I could do that. Like all this graphic design stuff in our church, she does that. Did you know that? All of the material, all the posters, everything. She does. And when she started doing it, she's like, I don't think I could do this. I'm like, baby, you're gifted. You're very creative. You can stay up till 3-4 in the morning and make a design. You got this, baby. And that's where most creative people work at night. They sleep in the morning. And so you realize their gift and you push them. An insecure spouse, you can't make more money than I do. That's insecure. You can't be in control of our money. So what they start to do is they start putting you down and they start controlling you. Good leaders promote, help, build. Good husbands, good wives promote, help, and build. The insecure ones try to tear them down. They think if I allow her to be herself, she'll leave me. Well, maybe then you should change if you think that she's going to leave you. But don't keep her. She's not your dog. He's not your dog, ladies. Okay, although you got to treat him sometimes like a dog. Right? That's what, says? Mark Unger says, treat your men like a dog. Give him treats. Pat him on the back. You know, don't yell at him. You know, and, you know, hug him and you'll have a happy man. Anyway, you're learning something, aren't you? Amen. Where are we at here? Come on. Let's get back to this. The reason your life is hard right now is because God is making you stronger for the future ahead of you. I remember in the beginning of my business, oh, how hard things were. I would be raking those leaves with a rake. I told my son that, and he hates raking. Teaching my son, 12-year-old, how to rake. And I would be like, God, why do I have to do this? I have more in me. And God says, shut up and rake. I would hear God talk to me like that. Shut up and rake. And then the wind would come in and blow more leaves. And I'd be like, and I'm an OCD a little bit, so I have to get every leaf. Right? So I'm like, ah, get back to raking. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I'm just a little bit OCD, just a little. Like I can't pray in a room if there's like a little something. Like 2 weeks ago I was preaching and I found Andre, Pastor Andre, you got to make sure the stage doesn't have gum wrappers on it. Because there was a gum wrapper and it just drove me crazy. I'm preaching to you and like you're enjoying it, but I'm like, do they see this? Can I pick it up? No gum wrappers on stage, please. Some of you are like, let me see what I can do. Please don't. Jim is scheming back there. Now, we would not talk about Steve Jobs the same way we do if his father gave him $100 million to start a company, right? But his father gave him nothing, just the garage. He says, you can use my garage. Just get the car out. When you're done, put the car back in. You know? And now the company Steve built is $600 billion. I can't even wrap my mind around that number. $600 billion. I mean, I understand it, but that's a lot of millions. That's a lot of millions. Amen. So God wants to give you a legacy. He won't make things easier. Ladies, you're running a business, and you're like, why is things so hard? Because God wants you to grow and to be able to manage 50, 100 people, not just one or two. So use it, and instead of saying, God, why? Say, God, help and make me stronger. Use this place. Maybe you are at the job where everybody's kind of against you. Use that to say, God, you're making me stronger. You're stretching me. You're making me love people I don't want to love. You're making me love people who are unlikable, right? And so allow God to stretch you. Because he has a plan. You don't see the future. I'm so glad today that I can run multiple companies because God has been stretching me all my life. Since I was 12 years old, I've been stretched. Amen. Can you handle just a little more? Like 3 more minutes? All right, let me just run through it. Now, there's a difference between crazy person and crazy abusive person. Okay, Samuel 19, 9 and 10. Samuel 19, 9 and 10. But one day, this is another day, when Saul was sitting at home with a spear in his hand. This guy loved this spear. I think he was so paranoid, he was always sitting with a knife or a spear in his hand. The tormenting spirit from the Lord suddenly came upon him as David played his harp. And I think David maybe got a wrong note. And you know how crazy people, they blow everything out of proportion. Okay, Saul hurled his spear at David, but David dodged out of the way, and leaving the spear stuck in the wall, he fled and escaped into the night. Now, sometimes you just cannot deal with a crazy person and you have to leave. Now, know the difference between a crazy person and crazy abusive person. Now, sometimes we can deal with crazy people, but when they become abusive, you have to leave. If you're living in a home where you're experiencing physical abuse or sexual abuse, you have to leave. You have to leave. You have to leave today. Listen to me. It's not going to stop. See, David, the first time, he dodged. The second time, he dodged. But this was like a ninth time. And David says, you know how abusive people, when they hit you, they say, I'll never do it again. Here's flowers. Put some makeup on and some glasses and nobody will know. We won't go to church this Sunday, you know. So the first time David didn't run away the first time. I think we should have, with physical abuse or sexual abuse, it's a one strike and you're out policy. That's what we teach in our premarital classes. One strike and you're out. Meaning when they start being abusive, notice they don't stop. And eventually they will kill you. They will achieve what they want to achieve. Because hate is the same as murder. And if they don't practice self-control, you need to leave. I'm not saying you need to divorce right away, but I say you have to leave that situation. And if you don't have anywhere to go, call our church and we're going to try to help you find a place. Call our office because you shouldn't be living in sexual or physically abused. Now, kids, if your mom spanks you, that's not abuse, okay? Or your dad's pain, that's not abuse. But if there's bruises and there's beatings and there's torment and torture, that's abuse and you need to call. And David finally says, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I'm out of here. I have to leave. And God had a plan for that. So David runs away. But God has a plan. God is shifting David now. Listen to the last point. God uses difficult people to reposition your opportunities and your friendships. Listen to this. God uses difficult people to reposition your opportunities and your friendships. God says, that's enough with King Saul. I've taught you everything you need to know. Now I'm going to move you. And so David ran away. But the good thing is this, that his wife, Michal, he's married to her now, she helps him escape. She realizes that Saul has a plot to kill David that night. So she tells David, notice God will bring you people even out of the family of person who wants to kill you. to tell you, hey, you need to escape because my dad is going to come and kill you. That's what she's saying. My dad wants to come and kill you. So she puts a statue where David is sleeping. So they're thinking David is sleeping, but David is gone. And so King sends an army and special force and says, kill him, execute him. So they come and they try to kill him while he's sleeping, but that's a statue. David is gone. When David runs away that night, Jonathan, King Saul's son, Bible says he loves David. He's best friends with David. David is not a bad guy. You're not a bad person because you have a toxic person in your life. And so Jonathan makes a pact with David, says, we will be friends forever. And if I die, you'll take care of my family, right? And if David says, if I die, then, but Jonathan says, I realize that you're going to be a king, not my dad, not my dad. And so God will bring people. David runs into that desert. He's running for years from Saul. And all that, you know, David becomes a fugitive. And all the other fugitives are now coming to David. And you know, fugitives, they make great soldiers. Fugitives, they made great souls. See, Saul didn't alienate only David. He alienated a whole bunch of people because crazy alienate people. That's what they do. And so David now has an army. And God is now teaching him how to build an army. And crazy people, I'm sorry, fugitive people. Because David, Bible says, doesn't get the best of the best. He gets the worst of the worst. Some of you are like, I need some good people in my company. And God says, well, why don't you take the fugitives, those who are, you know, coming to you, and train them and make them. And so David grows these men who are fugitives as well in the desert. And they become mighty men of valor. That's what it says in the Bible. Their names are written in the Bible and stamped for eternity. The fugitives, the crazies, the people that nobody in society wanted came to David. And David built an army and he became a force to reckon with. Now, last point. God will give you a chance to kill your cray-cray. Now, in our culture, maybe strike back at your cray-cray. One day, David is being chased by King Saul. King Saul has 3,000 people chasing David in a desert. David is hiding in a cave and Saul needs to go to the bathroom. And guess what cave he chooses? The one that David is hiding in. So Saul comes in, takes his robe off, you know, relaxes. And David's bodyguards say, hey, let me pin him to the wall. Let me kill him. God will give you an opportunity to strike back at the person who's driving you crazy, the toxic person in your life. Now, how you respond will determine if God is going to promote you or keep you where you are. Okay? And David says, he's God's anointed. I will not kill him. If God wants to kill Saul, let him kill Saul. But it's not going to be me. And his soldiers are arguing. Let me kill him. Let me pin him once and that's it. Saul comes out of the bathroom of the cave. David runs to the top of the mountain and says, my father, he says. Look at the respect he has for his king. The one who's trying to kill him, his father-in-law. He says, my father, I just had an opportunity to kill you. And I only cut a piece of your robe as proof that I had an opportunity to kill you. Now, how does that apply? Some people make gossip about you. As a leader, that happens to me as well. But Jesus said, woe to you if everybody loves you. So when you do something, you will have haters. Now, you'll have people who love you, but you'll also have haters. And sometimes people come up with the stupidest thing to throw at you. Like pastors, we get accused a lot about taking your money. And then when they can't accuse you of taking your money because most of our pastors here have we're bivocational. Well, then they'll say we're funding our companies or something with your money. So they'll find something. They'll find something so ridiculous to throw at you. And what you want to do at that moment, you want to say, I have some dirt on you, sweetheart. But here's where the test is. Are you going to kill? When God gives you an opportunity, are you going to destroy somebody? Thank you. Reputation. Are you going to destroy somebody's name? Or are you going to keep your tongue behind your teeth? What are you going to do? God will give you opportunity to strike back, to pay evil for evil. to do to somebody what they did to you. I have those opportunities. I know things. God says, shut up. Shut up. Shut it. You want to respond on Facebook. Sometimes you're responding and erasing and responding and erasing and responding and erasing. See, God is for you. God says, how will you act? Will you be a man or a woman of character, or are you going to throw back the spear? It's a test. And David says, twice or three times, I think David has an opportunity to kill Saul, and he doesn't. And that's why God says to David, to your kingdom, there will be no end. Because on your throne, someday, God himself in Jesus Christ will sit and rule forever on the throne of David. God says, I will build your house, David. And to your kingdom, there will be no end. See, God is at work at you, people. God is at work at me. He's working. He is. How do you make a great king? Place him to the crazy one, next to the crazy one. How do you make a great king? Give him a father who neglects him, right? David was neglected by his father. Give him brothers who are jealous and hateful of him. Give him a king who's trying to kill him. And that's how great people are made. Great people are not made when everything is good. Great people are made when life is hard. But God says, I'm going to give you the strength to arise above your situation, above your cray-crays, above your problems. I'm going to build your faith. I'm going to build your legacy. God is for you. Listen to me. He's not against you. So don't get offended and be unforgiven when somebody does something to you. Forgive and move on.